As was announced, the scripture reading is found in Galatians chapter 5. We'll be reading Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 from the New American Standard Version. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Be back in your presence. I'm thankful for this good audience that we have this evening. I got to have one of those. I don't see the little one I used this morning. There, that's fine. One of those Taylor boys. Okay. So we'll talk about a subject tonight that's very sensitive. Again, that's one of the unique features about the Bible. It can be brutally honest. And if we allow it to permeate our hearts, and if we study thoroughly on it, it's going to reveal to us that sometimes in our lives as Christians, even then, changes still need to be made from time to time. This text of Galatians chapter 5 is commonly noted as the works of the flesh. And through the Holy Spirit, Paul writes that those who engage in those works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's about as serious, folks, as it gets. If you cannot inherit the kingdom of God, then obviously you're going to be lost. So we need to prevent ourselves, to take every caution necessary, not to be guilty of these works of the flesh. Now, this particular topic I want to talk about this evening is sometimes made in light of. We laugh about it from time to time, especially maybe after a Sunday morning worship service and we go out to the local restaurant. And that's that subject of gluttony. It is a subject matter from the Bible. And because of that, we need to teach on it, as with every subject. Now, I went off and left my outline at Wanda's. So I'm just going to go from the PowerPoint tonight. So you may have to bear along with me a little bit here, okay? I would call that a rookie mistake, but it's not a rookie mistake. I've got another word for it, but I don't really like to use that word since I'm getting older. So I think you can read between the lines. Hey, but do you have a trouble with being a glutton? And you say, why, no. And listen, do you have your definition of a glutton? You've got your definition of glutton. I got my definition. I think we would all probably be on the same page if we were to write it down on a piece of paper and pull them up here and just start reading them off. Yeah. Everybody's pretty much on the same page here. But I want us to think about this, all right? How do we define and defeat this sin of gluttony? So I know most of us are probably thinking, oh, he's talking about overeating. I can't get this button. I can, but it's a little tight, so that's why I leave it unbuttoned. There's a reason for that, okay? I'm not comfortable with it tied around me, but it's my fault that it's tied around me, you see? Maybe you don't experience that problem. I hope you don't, but I do. But we're going to look tonight, and we're going to define what gluttony really is and how to defeat it. And I want to suggest to you that it's just not about the excess of eating. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon will teach us this. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. Watch this. And put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, that is, the ruler's delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Well, if we do some deep research about this, we might understand where Solomon's coming from. That's what rulers and kings would oftentimes do. Can you believe it? I mean, this is how warped folks were way back. Sadly, in some form or another, it continues today. But listen to Solomon's wisdom here. Consider carefully what is before you. There's a reason Solomon wants us to be careful here. And look there in the red and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. What does he think he really means that? That's pretty drastic, to put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Maybe he's sending a message here. Listen, get it under control. Okay? And sometimes that in and of itself is difficult to do. Again, in chapter 23, hear my son and be wise. And that's how Solomon addresses the Proverbs so often, you know, to his son. And guide your heart in the way. Watch this. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. That's quite specific. Okay? Why? For the drunkard, that is the winebibber, and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Again, very descriptive warnings about the winebibber, about the gluttonous man who eats a lot of meat, and this drowsiness that will clothe a man with rags. There's people like this in the world. That's what they're all about. I don't want to say that's their mission in life. It's just the way some folks are. They're winebibbers. They're drunkards. They're overeaters and all this stuff that goes with that. But I'm here tonight suggesting to you that it goes beyond that. I'm not here to offend anyone. Please understand that. But I am here to share with you what I believe the Scriptures teach about being a glutton from another perspective that we may not view very often. Webster, again, borrowing him, definition is excess in eating or drinking, greedy or excessive indulgence. Okay? So yes, he hits at it first, excess in eating or drinking. Another definition is greedy or excessive indulgence. Now, what could that imply? Greedy or excessive indulgence? Sometimes maybe we don't look at it from this perspective, but it is closely, obviously associated with wine bibbing and laziness in the Scriptures. If you'll turn your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Let's just get a couple verses under our belt here. Matthew chapter 11 there at verse number 19. The Son of Man, listen. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. This is the perspective of some of the audience that Jesus would encounter. And they accused him of being a winebibber. They accused him of being a glutton. They accused him of being a friend with the tax collectors. I mean, Jesus is just getting slandered right and left. Very, very unfairly in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 at verse number 2. Paul would write here at verse 2 where it says, verse 12, that didn't look right. verse 12. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts. Do you see that? Lazy gluttons. Now, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about gluttons, but it does say somewhat about gluttons. So it's referenced in the Old Testament. It's referenced in the New Testament. Simply defined, it's given to excess. Let's try and draw that definition in. It is given to excess. Proverbs chapter 25 again. Proverbs chapter 25. And let's notice there at verses number 16 and 27. Proverbs chapter 25. And there at verse number 16. Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need. Why? Lest you be filled with it and vomit. Now, I want us to look how disgusting this glutton can become. He or she eats so much that they regurgitate it. You look there at verse number 27. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Let's read verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit. Well, what's he like, Solomon? Well, it's like a city broken down without walls. Well, what good is a city broken down without walls? All right. So we're getting a couple of thoughts here. I go to the prophet Ezekiel this time in chapter 16. And notice how the old prophet Ezekiel here describes it. Ezekiel chapter 16. And let's pick up reading there at verse 48, if you will. 16 at verse 48. As I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Verse 50. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. So here's an example of how the Lord dealt with these cities and how they were overcome with gluttony, you see. Again, it's commonly associated with overeating and being overweight. But from the scriptures, we're seeing here that it's not so much. It's not so much about the stomach as it is the heart and mind. And we want to just explore that just a little bit further. I appreciate your good attention. The concept, church, is not limited. I say is not limited to food. Okay? However, sometimes that's how we limit it, only to food. But have we thought about it like this? Is it possible to be a gluttonous person that you do excessive shopping, for example? Excessive in our hobbies. Maybe you're just a jobaholic. You spend so much time on your job. Maybe you're just a compulsive internet user. You see the excessiveness here. Maybe you watch television around the clock. You're on your smartphone. You know, doctors are now finding that as people have to go to the chiropractor, there's a problem here. There's a problem. They're going to get rich, I believe. Because, wait a minute. And what about sexual sins? We read of those works of the flesh there in Galatians 5. Don't you know that there are individuals who are excessive when it involves the work of the flesh? Yes. The lottery people, if one thing burns me up, it's this. If I had to pay cash and go into the gas station and I have to stand in a line for 15 minutes while this person's buying one ticket right after another or cashing tickets in. And I did this once. I said, how much did you win? I shouldn't have asked it because I didn't like his reply, you know, as far as that goes. Well, if you're going to throw your money away, I'll take it, okay? And that didn't curb anything, I don't believe. But nevertheless, just go ahead and fill in your blank, okay? Let me ask this. You know, we got to get personal, don't we, to make the Word of God apply to us. So what are you excessive about in your life? Are we more excessive with things in this world than this? And you know what? If the truth be known, perhaps so. You know, how do I want to say this? So if we were to give a quiz tonight to the church here, all right, to prevent this excessiveness that we may be overwhelmed in, let's think of it like this. Am I more excessive with my remote control, my mouse, my TV remote, more so than this? Do I know more about the television shows and what's on the internet? And yet, can I say all the books of the Old Testament? Can you tell me what time 24 Legacy comes on? Can you tell me the schedule of the Cleveland Indians? But if I were to ask you, who was the third king, maybe, of Israel? I don't know. You know, I don't obviously know everything. But there was a time when I hardly knew anything and I was brought up in the church. Because I did not commit myself. I did not commit myself. And there were 14 years that I remember specifically where I just warmed a pew back there in Dayton, Ohio. And I was a married man and I was a father. And truth be known, I was a disgrace as a Christian. Now, I could start crying right now, but I'm going to try not to. But there were 14 years of my life where it was all about organized softball. Traveling to different states. Being in a tournament every weekend. Well, Sunday morning, I knew I had to be in the services. I knew I had to be there. But as I sit there in my pew, and Brother Martin up there preaching, my mindset was like this. Come on, hurry up. Hurry up, because I know we had a 10 o'clock game, and I know I'm missing the 10 o'clock game. But that was my attitude. Do you see how merciful God is that I got past that stage in my life? I'll never be able to thank God enough. But I was a glutton at that point in time. So it happens. It truly does. It happens. So let's see. I just lost. I don't know if I can go back here or not. This given to the lust of the flesh. I just want to allude to that just for a moment, because that was our scripture reading. Do you remember what John says about the love of the world. There in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, I believe it starts off there. John says this. He says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Why not, John? Why not love the world? Because all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. John says, these are not of the Father, but of the world. When he says, love not the world, he doesn't mean don't love the planet. He's talking about love the things in the world. Those things that are going to distract us. Those things that are going to overwhelm us and cause us to follow the world. Well, he says the world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of the Lord abides forever. The flesh is so strong. Jesus said once that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you find yourself in this spiritual tug of war from time to time? The flesh pulling one way, the spirit pulling another way. Do you have that struggle from time to time? Hey, it's a reality with us because we are in the world. I know Romans 12:2 says not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed. And I think what Paul's message there is this. You have to live in the world, of course. But don't let the world contaminate you. Don't conform to the world. Don't be as the world is. I hope we get that. I think we do. Here's the fruit of this defining gluttony is this. It's the irresponsibility, it's the selfishness and the slothfulness. You know what it is? In one word, it's idolatry. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 there, I think around verse 18. Is where I want to pick up Philippians 3 there at verse number 18. Verse 18 reads, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Look at verse number 19. Whose end is what? Destruction. Watch this. Whose God is what? Their belly. And whose glory is what? Their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. That's why Paul would write to the church at Colossae in chapter 3, 1 and 2, to set your affections where? On things above, not on things of the earth. And that takes discipline. I understand that. And we're to practice such discipline in our Christian walk. Again, back to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 there at verse number 7. Again, Solomon will give us some more wise instruction here. Proverbs 28 and there at verse number 7. And it reads, whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons. But a companion of gluttons shames his father. So again, we're seeing a little bit about gluttons tonight. Maybe more so than what we've seen before. I just think it's so important. You see, we understand that a glutton is easy to define, perhaps not as easy to identify. So here's another quiz. Now, you be honest, I'll be honest. God knows if we're honest. So, what is it with which you are undisciplined? Now, you just let it resonate for a moment. I'm letting it resonate. What is it with me that I'm undisciplined. Well, the list is too exhaustive, all right? But you know one thing I struggle with? It's so minor. And yet, for me, for whatever reason, so major. I despise going through drive-thrus at McDonald's. I'm thinking, I've got plans, and I'm going to McDonald's, and I'm going to the drive-thru. And don't you know there's two cars in front of me who pull in right before. And I'm thinking, now, what's the chance of that happening? I'm really impatient. That's what it is. That's what it boils down to. But watch this. I'm waiting in line. And I'm waiting. And I look out the window up front, two cars. And I'm thinking, hey, are you buying the kitchen sink or what? What's taking you so long? See, I ought not to be that way. And I said, as minor as that may seem, it's really major. I got to overcome that. That's ridiculous for me to feel that way. And I've had this issue for a long time. So, what is it with which you are undisciplined? Well, we won't take the time to poll the assembly. Okay. But nevertheless, number two, what is it that you refuse to deny yourself? Are you impulsive? Listen, if we're impulsive in the wrong way, we're going to get ourselves in some deep trouble, okay? Maybe you're an impulsive buyer. You ever been guilty of that? That's not a good characteristic, okay? That'll get you in trouble, won't it? We understand that. What is it to which you have given control over yourself? Who do you give the majority of your time to? How many husbands are cheating their wives here tonight? Not cheating on your wives, cheating your wives by not giving them the time that they rightly deserve because, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, you know, and I mean, it's just... too much excess, maybe? Things just not organized and prioritized the way they ought to be? What are we giving up when we give in to our appetites? Whatever those appetites might be now, what are we giving up when we give in to our appetites? You know, things could be a lot better maybe in the home, if you will, if we would just call a family timeout. Hey, wait a minute now. You know, I've got my limits, you've got your limits, but it's time that you and I sit down and we just really get serious about this. Because things are getting out of control. And as things get out of control, things have a tendency to snowball and compound, and we've been ignoring it. We've been denying that the problem's really existing, while all the time it's just been getting larger and larger and larger, and we know the end result of that. You know, some things can be prevented, and to understand wisdom from the Scriptures will help prevent so much in our lives. Listen, obviously, it's much easier to consider when gluttony is understood. It's not all about the stomach. That's our takeaway point tonight, okay? It's not all about overeating. Maybe yes to a degree, yes. But look at all these other avenues where we can be guilty of being a glutton. When we look at self-discipline, Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. You see, if we practice and implement self-discipline in our lives, guess what? I'm not going to be a glutton. No, when I look at a passage like 2 Corinthians 13:5, where Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, test yourselves, Paul says. You got to test yourselves. Well, when was the last time you or I took inventory of my spiritual life? Has it been a while? Hey, are we due for a spiritual checkup? And if we are, then let's make an appointment with God, okay? Let's take time out of our busy, excessive life and sit down and get down with God. How about that? That's a good first step, all right? Training ourselves to moderation, to temperance, to godliness, to learn to be content, that I don't have to have everything that I see. First Timothy chapter 4. Well, let me go 1 Timothy 6 on this one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, picking up there at verse number 6, Paul writes here to his understudy, and he says this, picking up at verse 6, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Did you get that? You want great gain spiritually? Well, it's godliness with contentment. Verse number 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these things, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. They fall into a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Who is Paul speaking to here? Just in general, he's speaking to Christians. We know that because of verse 10. He says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some covet after money, they..." Wait, how did he say that at verse 10? They what? "They've strayed from the faith." I said they were Christians, right? They've strayed from the faith. Not only have they strayed from the faith, look what else has happened here. "Because they were excessive, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So often we deceive ourselves in thinking money's the answer. Boy, if I could just get that wad and get all these bills out of my hair. Well, not, I can't say that. But just wipe them out. Get them paid off. There's the answer. I'm happy from here on out. No, it doesn't work that way. You can deceive yourself and think it will work that way. But if you're not, listen, if you're impulsive, if you're a glutton in this area, you'll be right back in debt, right where you were. Overwhelmed. Head over heels, as they say, in debt. Discipline is the training that leads to self-control. And self-control prevents gluttony. Again, Solomon is so into this in Proverbs chapter 30 there at verses 7, 8, and 9. He says it this way. Verse 7, "Two things I request of you," he says, "deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from me." Watch this. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord?" You see, we can get to that point in our lives where look what I've done. Look what we've accumulated after all these years. We go online and we go into our bank account, you know, and we hit that button and push. We say, oh, honey, look at this. Oh, baby, we're looking good. Not giving God an ounce of credit. Taking all the credit. Look what we've done. Every good gift, James says, and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. If it weren't for God, you wouldn't even have a computer as far as that goes. God is the one who is blessing you with everything you have. So don't think it's all you. This is what Solomon seems to be teaching here, or lest I be poor and still and profane the name of my God. Self-discipline. The psalmist There in chapter 1 there, I think it is, at verses 1, 2, and 3, starts off by saying this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth." I just lost it. Say that again. He doesn't sit with scoffers. Listen, what the psalmist is saying here, we do this every day. We either stand, we sit, and we walk. So he's covering every part of life that we involve ourselves in. He says in verse 2, "For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And because he meditates day and night at verse 3, he's going to be like this tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf is going to flourish. He's going to have a deep root system, don't you see? Because he's right there by that river that flows. And that teaches us self-discipline. There's self-denial. Jesus said, "Unless you deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple." Is self-denial a challenge? It's a challenge. Listen, if you think of fasting as denying your physical appetite to cultivate your spiritual appetite, then gluttony denies your spirit to feed the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, 7 and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap." If he sows to the flesh, he's going to reap corruption, isn't he? If he sows to the spirit, he'll reap everlasting life. I say again, the choice is really ours. Gluttony, here's what it is in closing. Gluttony is a me-centered and me-harmful characteristic. Am I guilty of being a glutton tonight? Is there any areas that we may have touched on tonight that, well, you know, I really need to think about that. I probably need to make some changes about that. So we hear a sermon like this on gluttony. Now what we do with it, well, that's on us, isn't it? It can go in this ear and it can go out that ear. Or wait a minute. It can resonate. It can find room in our heart to really stop and think about that. Maybe I do need to make some changes. And I would suggest our changes tonight, brothers and sisters, be this. To give as much time as you possibly can to the Word of God. We give time. We come here as an assembly, all right? And we're giving up time tonight. I get that. That's our duty as Christians. We're offering our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And so we do that this way. But is this the only time we do it? If we're only doing it two times a week, three times a week, and the rest of the time is my time, do you see how gluttonous we are? If the rest of the time is my time, if I don't have my Bible study every day, if I don't read my Bible every day, if I just wait till I come to a service like this to open my Bible, something's in excess. And that's your time towards something else and not toward God. If you need to make any changes in your spiritual life, I just ask that you think about what's been spoken here this evening. If you find room in your heart to make application, give God the glory by doing just that. Listen. You'll be glad you did. If you keep that practice of being a disciplined child of God, putting God first, if you're a kingdom seeker first and seeking God's righteousness first, you're going to be blessed above what you could ever imagine. You truly will. I've experienced that. I'm not here to testify. I'm just telling you the facts from those 14 years. To where I'm at today, I've seen a 180-degree change in myself. And I give God the glory. If you're subject to this gospel call tonight, make those needs known while we sing the song that's been selected for us.